ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। अहं कतोरहं यज्ञ स्वधाहम् अहम् औषधम् मन्त्रोहम् अहमेवाजम् अहम् अग्निरहम् भूतम्। Translation: Lord Sri Krishna speaking. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Purport: The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishtoma is also Krishna, and he is also the Mahayagya mentioned in the Smriti. The oblations offered to the Pitriloka are the sacrifice performed to please the Pitriloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna, and many other commodities made with milk products for offering in the sacrifices are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna has described different kinds of people who are on some kind of a spiritual path, or who consider themselves to be on a spiritual path, but actually don't have very much understanding of what spiritual life is all about. Just like I was talking about that term, spiritualist. People consider anyone who does any kind of puja or chants some mantras or dresses in some orange clothes or has a funny hairstyle, they consider them to be spiritualists. So there are different kinds of people engaged in different kinds of rituals. Just like this will be described a few verses on, the people engaged in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, they perform sacrifices with the object of becoming elevated to the heavenly planets, which actually isn't a spiritual activity. But it appears to those who don't know what is spiritual life, it appears that karmis, or those engaged in karmakanda rituals, and devotees of Krishna, they are the same. Just like we see the demigod worshippers, they're also one kind of karmi. They worship different demigods with the aim of receiving materialistic boons. And there are worshippers of Durga, Kali, Ganesh, Surya, Lord Shiva. They're worshippers of different demigods. And the worship of different demigods appears to be almost the same as that of the worship of Lord Krishna. You'll find there are temples, and the temple, even the design of the temple may be very similar, and the kind of worship that is offered similar. Whether you worship demigods or whether you worship Krishna, there's some arati, and there'll be puja with abhishek and mantras chanted. So it all appears to be the same. Therefore you'll find in the English dictionary, you'll find Krishna, the definition is given, a Hindu god, or Lord Vishnu, a Hindu deity, because it all appears to be the same to those who are less educated. And the less educated does not only mean compilers of English dictionaries, who after all are not expected to be advanced spiritualists, but also within the community of followers of the Vedic culture, there is generally confusion as to what is the ultimate goal of life, and most people think that jato mat tato pat, all the paths are the same, they all lead to the same goal, because it all seems to be very similar. However, there is a lot of difference between the worship of Krishna on the path of pure devotional service and the multifarious activities which go on in the name of Hinduism. There's a lot of difference. The worship of Krishna by devotees who are interested in becoming his pure devotees has a different motive. Those who worship multifarious demigods, why? Kama-istai-stai-shitigana-papadyante-na-devataha. Those who worship different demigods, they do so with some material desire to fulfill. Therefore, they are, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented, Kamaishtaishtai, Hrita Jnana. Hrita Jnana means Nashta Buddhi. Their intelligence is spoiled. because they're offering worship, they're making some endeavor. In worship, you have to collect flowers, you have to offer lambs, the same endeavor is there, but with the same endeavor, if it was offered to Krishna with a pure motive, a person could get free from repeated birth and death. But instead, by worshipping demigods, you're entangling yourself more and more in repeated birth and death. Just like there's the prayer, the common prayer to Devi, Durga Devi, Dhanam Devi, Yasham Devi, Rupavati Bharya Devi, give me, give me, give me, come on, give me, what are you going to give me? Give me money, Dhanam Devi, give me beauty, give me fame, give me a beautiful wife, all these things they're praying. But the same worship is going on to Krishna, but the devotee is simply praying, please give me your pure devotional service. Na dhanam, na janam. You see, just the opposite. The materialist, the materialists, they're called shaktas. They worship shakti, means the external energy of Krishna. So they worship shakti with the aim of getting some shakti, for some energy, some power, for enjoying this material world. So they pray, dhanam dehi, give me wealth. And the pure devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has taught us to pray, na dhanam, I don't want wealth, na janam, they're praying, yasham dehi, may people recognize me, may people worship me, may people follow me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, na janam, and they're praying, rupavati bharya dehi, give me a beautiful wife. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying, na sundarim, I don't desire that. Kavitam vaja gadisha kame, I don't desire any such thing. Any such thing that could be desired within the material world. Simply, mama jannani jannani shure bhavatad bhakti rahai tukitui. May I simply have pure, unmotivated devotional service to you, birth after birth, not even praying for liberation. So, the same endeavor, if offered to Krishna with a pure motive, that gives us the highest boon, freedom from birth and death, and situation in the pure devotional service of Krishna. So in this verse, Krishna is pointing out that the people, they're performing sacrifices and rituals, offering butter into the fire with some materialistic motive, but they should understand that actually everything is meant for worshipping me, Krishna says. I am, they're performing sacrifices, they don't realize that Krishna's one name is Yajna. Krishna is non-different from sacrifice. All sacrifices are meant for Krishna. That verse is there that Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam. All the sacrifices and austerities are meant for satisfying Krishna. Everyone is performing some kind of sacrifice. Of course, traditional Vedic sacrifices, they're a very big arrangement with. You have to bring so many priests, different kind of priests, and offer so many things into the fire. And it's not just the ritual of pouring, but with the, especially with the great sacrifices, such as the Ashwamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna, you have to distribute profusely the gifts to the brahmanas and to distribute profusely prasadam. And even the householder, he has not only the fire sacrifice, but he has five different kinds of sacrifice. He has to welcome guests, he has to maintain all different kinds of living entities. There's so many different things to do. Sacrifice means, when we think of sacrifice, now of course we join this Krishna conscious movement, we know the word sacrifice, that means, specifically we think about this fire sacrifice, but there is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita the sacrifice of speech, the sacrifice of the body, sacrifice of the mind. But this very word sacrifice, when we think of that, when we think of the English term, it means that we're giving up something for our own personal gain or sense gratification. It means giving up something or offering something. So, sacrifice that is done as an offering. And Krishna says, bhuktaram yajna tapasam. The enjoyer, I am the actual enjoyer of all the sacrifices. So in other words, all endeavors, they are meant to be, the result of that is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Whereas in this material world, everyone is performing some kind of endeavor, some kind of sacrifice, yagya, and with that is tapasya. There is tapasya. In this material world, there is always some difficulty to be undertaken, voluntarily or not, even not voluntarily. By force, by the laws of material, by the flow of material life, by the very nature of this material life, we all have to go through so many difficulties. There is also voluntary tapasya. Tapodivyam putrika yena sattvam shudyat brahma soktam tvananta. Voluntarily accepting austerities for the sake of purification, for the sake of becoming free from this material entanglement and becoming situated in spiritual life, which is actual happiness. People undertake austerities. We know the yogis, they go to the Himalayas or the jungle and they perform severe austerities for the sake of subduing their senses so that they can become situated in spiritual life. So Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam, I am the enjoyer. Everything should be offered to me. Then all your activities and all your austerities, they will be properly rewarded. By offering everything to Krishna, what happens, instead of trying to enjoy directly ourselves, if we offer everything to Krishna, then we actually come to the position of proper enjoyment. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said, pranopaharachayapindriyanam, that the example is given that if we offer everything, all the food to the stomach, then automatically the rest of the body is benefited. Because the stomach is the beneficiary. If all the food is put in the stomach, then the stomach processes it, then automatically the hands, legs, yatataro mula nisechenena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashakam. The other example is given that a tree, if we put water on the root, then automatically the benefit is distributed to the tree's branches, leaves, twigs, flowers. And to try to give benefit in another way, but if we individually try to water the leaf of the tree is dried up. Let me put some water on the leaf. But it will be of no benefit to the leaf. Or the flower is not blooming properly. The bud is not coming up. It needs some water. But we have to put water on the root. And then the whole tree is nourished. Similarly, if we're feeling hungry, fertilizer, scan, and how many scams are there? You can't keep up with them all. So these are not kshatriyas. They're described in Srimad Bhagavatam as prajaste bhakshiyashyantim lecha rajanya rupina. In Kali Yuga, the so-called kings, they will actually be the lowest class of men whose only aim and object in taking leadership is to exploit the citizen. This we have factually seen. So, the first condition for performing sacrifice is there should be a pious king. Then there should be qualified brahmanas who can chant the mantras so perfectly that they will have effect. His mantra, Ashvamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna. This means sacrificing a cow or a horse in sacrifice. How is that? Killing and then immediately bringing to life with a better body by mantra. And starting the fire not with matches. With mantra, such powerful brahmanas were there. And not only they were pronouncing correctly, not reading a book, hundreds of mantras one after the other, without this. If there's a slight defect in the pronunciation or the length of the length each syllable is held, just like here we're not pronouncing properly, or if there's a slight defect in the meter, then everything is spoiled. The whole affair is spoiled. And the brahmanas themselves have to be so pure that they can do that by their mantra. It's not just a matter of correct pronunciation. They themselves have to be so pure by austerities and strictly following regulated principles. They have to be so much pure that by their pronunciation they have the ability by mantra by the subtle, that means by the sound, they're able to manipulate the gross elements. Therefore, from the sound, the mantra is chanted and fire comes. So a brahmana's curse is so powerful because he has power in his words. or his blessing is also tam. Not simply Guruji give blessing and they're giving blessing, but who? They themselves, they're not following anything. It's Guruji's tea break. There's no power. They don't have any power to bless. So it's not possible to do such sacrifice. Of course, also in our Krishna conscious movement, we perform fire sacrifices. That is also there, but not exactly in the same way as they were performed previously. It's not possible. The whole atmosphere is polluted. You see, that's another point. To perform a sacrifice, you have to select a place, just like you see Dharmakshetri, Kurukshetri. Not that every place you do a sacrifice, but it has to be in a particular sanctified place at a particular time. And a sanctified place, just like Kurukshetra, is particularly a place for performing sacrifices. But even then, you have to choose a specific time. You have to purify the area before you start the sacrifice. There's so many terms and conditions to be fulfilled. But this standard of Vedic purity, practically, it's not possible to have in the modern age. If you even see a person who doesn't have faith in Krishna, you're supposed to run into the river and take bath with all your clothes on. You don't even have time to. Before taking a bath, you're supposed to do so many rituals. Sandhya Vandanam. Now we chant Gayatri music. 5 minutes, finished. But previously there was a whole ritual people used to follow. And taking at least half an hour, so many different prayers and rituals and so many different things. But if you see someone who has no faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who thinks that Krishna's form is material, you should immediately take bath in the river. Then you have to live on the bank of the river and take bath all the time. Just stay in the river. Just stay in the river. You can't come out because everyone's polluted. Even so-called Hindus, there are so many offensive ideas about Krishna. And there are so many points. You see, we're living in buildings. It's considered very high class to have an attached bathroom. You'll see, you will pay more for the hotel room in which there is an attached bathroom. If you have to go outside to share the bathroom, you pay less. Because attached bathroom is considered better. But attached bathroom means that you're right next to the stool room. And even if there's a stool room in the same building, the whole building is polluted. You can't perform religious activities there according to the strict rule. Not even if it's just outside, it has to be one bow shot minimum. There shouldn't even be a toilet. Even to have such a thing is vulgar. You're supposed to, you go in the field, away from any building. That is civilized. And anything else is contaminated. So we can't perform these rituals according to the strict Vedic rules and regulations because the whole atmosphere is contaminated. People's minds are contaminated. Their idea, their whole mode of life is contaminated. Rising, anyone who rises after sunset, after sunrise, then he's immediately contaminated because it's actually sinful. Everything. I'm passing water here regularly in this toilet here. And so many, every time I go in, there's someone, and they're just walking out. They don't wash their hands. They're passing stool and urine and who knows what they're doing. And they just walk right out. This is India, 1997. No culture whatsoever. They don't even wash their hands. Can you imagine how low class? And so the whole atmosphere is contaminated. There's no question of performing such sacrifices as were previously performed. And what to speak of meditation? This is another joke. They're teaching meditation. You see, in the Western countries, there's some devi who's called, supposed to be Nirmala, pure. Yeah. So another incarnation of. Another incarnation of who knows what, ignorance. Yeah, anyway, whatever. Whatever they claim, it's all nonsense, nonsensical. Meditation. In meditating, what meditation are you going to do? How can you even think of meditating if you don't wash your hands after passing urine? You know, where's the question of meditating? First you have to become a human being, and then there may be some question. Meditation, you do some meditation, then you go off to work, Now, where is this? We don't find that the Vedic rishis, they performed meditation and they went off to the office. They took a heli, they commuting by helicopter from the mountains to go down to what's that town? Srinagar in Uttarakhand to have an office job, and then at night they go and with their matted locks back. And there's no such thing. If you want to meditate, you have to meditate. 60,000 years, for instance. And they're 15 minutes meditation. Oh, I feel so. Now I'm meditating, I have so much peace of mind, and my stress is gone, I can do my job much better. Now my wife is much more happy with me. And this is not meditation. Meditation means Krite Yadhyayato Vishnu. Meditate in the Krita Satya Yoga. People meditated upon Vishnu. They're very serious. They didn't have tea breaks. All you see in Badrinath, all the tea, coffee, everything. So this is, because it's very cold, so you drink a lot of hot tea. But this is, there's no question of meditation. And in so many conditions. First of all, your life has to be pure. Your span of life has to be more than the 60 or 70 years we may hope for at the most, maybe 80. There's no question. So sacrifice in this age, as we all know, we've heard it so many times, means chanting Hare Krishna. There is nothing else. Anything outside of this Krishna consciousness, whatever is going on in the name of religion at the present time, it's all bogus. This one verse Prabhupada used to quote, that priti vite jato kichu dharma nama chale, bhagavata kahe taha pari purinda chale. Whatever is going on in the name of religion in this world, except chanting of Hare Krishna, it's all simply a bluff to cheat people. That's all. And we can see factually that there's some avatar has emerged from the LIC office in South India after 40 years of age. He suddenly realized, I'm an incarnation of God, and you know, you have to pay like 600 rupees to go to his sacrifice, and they get like a lakh of people at a time. Cheating, just cheating, that's all cheating. Unless people are presenting that here is Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to him, give up material desires, it's all cheating. Even if you're presenting Krishna, but yes, we're also Vaishnavas, but no, we don't follow any rules or regulations. You'll find in Bengal so many people, Vaishnavas, we're pure vegetarians. We don't eat any chicken or meat or eggs. We eat fish. But because we're Vaishnavas, we don't eat all those other things. That, you're fun. It's a very strange idea. That, I remember I was preaching in Bengal, and our newly initiated devotee, I had a big argument with him. He said, well, what's wrong with eating fish? I mean, all the gurus in Bangladesh, they all eat fish. All, and so many great Vaishnavas I know, they all eat fish. So many wrong ideas are being propagated simply to cheat people. Therefore, we should know very clearly what is the situation. We should study that. We shouldn't be deluded or sentimental. Of course, if there is any genuine attempt towards understanding God, even if it's just like in the previous verse, that is, Krishna is recognizing people are making some kind of endeavor, that should be appreciated. We see there is some spiritual culture in India. People are inclined to visit holy places. So that is good. Whatever is good, we should encourage it. But it must be directed in the proper way. Otherwise, it will all, despite being having a pious tendency, it will all be useless. Just like we see in Malaga. People, they like to go to a guru. They have some pious tendency. Not only Malaga, everywhere. Indian people, they have some pious tendency. But it's being misdirected towards a cheater who is teaching people to be impersonalist and not surrender to Krishna. And generally people, they like this kind of thing, that we'll worship some guru and he will give us some blessing, and there's not too many rules over here. It's No, I was just reading. I was just reading Nectar Devotion today. How people, they like some kind of religious system in which there are some cheetah comes. Is it in Nectar Devotion? No, it's in. I was reading Gita. This Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, in that verse, just a few verses before, that people, they like some kind of person who comes and no rules and regulations. Only I'll bless you, that's all. I bless you and you build a community center, I'll come and speak at it, and I'll pose as a great welfare worker for the whole world. And people like this kind of guru. But actually, it has to be sacrifice. Sacrifice means some dedication, giving up our own material desires for the sake of satisfying Krishna. Without that, spiritual life cannot develop. Even if people have the tendency to visit holy places or worship a guru, unless they get the proper direction, the example is given of just like offering ghee into ashes. In the sacrifice, you have to offer ghee into the fire. But if the fire is not burning, then it doesn't have the effect. It looks as if you're doing the right thing, but it doesn't have the proper effect. Therefore, it's very much required that this actual philosophy of Krishna consciousness be taught in human society. Because Prabhupada said that most people in the world are not bad, they're simply misled. Of course, bad, otherwise what are we doing in this material world? But at the same time, we find many people, they are, if given the right direction, they will take it. We see all over the world, more and more people are taking to Krishna consciousness and are appreciating Krishna consciousness. So if that preaching is done more and more, then people can appreciate that. But that's one thing Prabhupada said, that the main problem in preaching in India is that there's so many people misrepresenting Bhagavad Gita. There's so people think we come giving Bhagavad Gita. Oh, I already have Bhagavad Gita. But what? It's not Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's a misrepresentation. Therefore, people are confused. So, on the one hand, in our preaching, we have to present what is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Come, see, beautiful, Radha Shamsun. Take prasad, dance. It's so nice. And I was just going to that meeting. It must have been about 4 o'clock. The arati was going on, and the whole temple in the front was packed with village people. I don't know, maybe from Madhya Pradesh or something, and all dancing and chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Very, very blissful. Now, they like this. They like this. But then, if you go to their village, you'll find they have some guru who's not teaching them properly. So the tendency is that we can present. This is a very, very nice thing. They like to take it. But at the same time, the instruction has to be given. That it's not just simply some sentiment, like it today, leave it tomorrow, but you have to take this up very seriously in your life. Understanding what is the proper path of Krishna consciousness and what is not, because it's not all the same. We'll find here in North India there are so many Ramanandi sadhus and gurus. Means they're devotees of Lord Ram, but mostly very much mixed up with impersonalism, and they don't teach people properly what is the path. So when this preaching is required, these books, when people read, they will see actually what is the path. When we speak, we have to speak this philosophy, that this is not the correct path. Simply Guru Giri, and that's a Bengali term, means like Guru Ship. So, you say in Hindi also? Like that. Yeah, same thing, Dada Giri. It's a common term. So just posing as a guru. Guruship means like as a business, taking it up. Collect some disciples and you know, they feed you and they respect you and you give a few speeches here and there. But really, duty of Krishna conscious preachers is to instill the proper idea in people's minds. It's not easy, because all the propaganda of the material world is be here and enjoy it. Either piously take blessings from your guru and he will bless you, lead a good life, but not surrender to Krishna. Or impiously, grossly impious, eat meat, drink wine, take intoxication, so many different things. So either way, without knowledge of Krishna, people, their human form of life is being spoiled. So one of the duties of the Krishna conscious movement is to teach people that this path should be followed. This is the path. That understanding Krishna is the goal of life. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are servants of Krishna. We have to surrender to Krishna. And anything outside that, you may say, well, it's all the same. Whatever you like, you feel like it, you can do. I feel like worshipping God in this way, in my own way. No. There's a particular way to worship Krishna in which He will be satisfied. And if you worship Him in that way, you'll be benefited and you'll be satisfied. And outside of that, you can never be satisfied. You're not acting in your own self-interest. If you think that by avoiding the Krishna conscious movement, or if you think that by failing to surrender to Krishna, you'll be benefited, then you're in a big illusion. Your only interest in life is to recognize the fact that Krishna is everything, Krishna is controlling everything, we are parts and parcels of Krishna, we are servants of Krishna. This is the only beneficial path. Everything outside of this simply leads to repeated entanglement in birth and death. So this needs to be preached. Without this, people are suffering now and will continue to suffer, birth after birth. So this is the duty of the members of the Krishna conscious movement, first of all, to be convinced about this. That it's not just, you know, I'm doing it, but maybe, maybe not. You should be convinced. Krishna is all in all. This is the only meaning to life. Our life in this material world is, without understanding Krishna, it's as meaningless as all the previous lives we've spent revolving in 8,400,000 species of life. So ourselves, we have to be convinced, and then if we're convinced, we must feel the urge to convince others. Because the devotee, he, by transcendental vision that he receives from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, he understands that all living beings are parts and parcels of Krishna. How they are suffering, how they are spoiling their lives without knowing Krishna, and how much Krishna is unhappy seeing them not coming to Him. So a devotee, he feels impelled that I must do something to bring others. What can I do? I'm so small, Maya is so great, but let me try to do something. Bring these books to others, distribute prasad, speak to others, that, or at least help others who are doing that, and in this way, try to do something to help others come to Krishna. It's a very great task. Now we're in Vrindavan. This is also by Prabhupada's plan to become a great preaching center because so many people are coming and visiting this temple. But we have so much. And Vrindavan is the ultimate goal of our lives, to live in Vrindavan. That doesn't mean just physically placing our bodies.